Cedric, like getting in his lounge chair up here. Oh, yeah. He's like, making all those old man noises. Man, what is it? He can't help it. Yeah. Oh, my. Don't. Let's not get started. Let's not get started. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Luke 6. Yeah, we're in Luke 6. We're looking at. This is some people call it the Sermon on the Plain. It is basically some of the same teaching that we find in Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the teachings of Jesus. And remember last week we were talking about that Jesus was, you know, recognizing, it was easy to recognize that the old leadership of the Jewish people was not going to work out. They weren't not only wanting to listen to Jesus, but they were starting already to plot against him, right? And then he selected the new leaders, the apostles, and then he went and they had this, started teaching, right? And so what we're listening to is Jesus giving instruction to the leaders of the church and the first disciples of the church on how you're supposed to live your life as a Christian. The change between the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? And we talked last time how, you know, you can't be all in love with the world. You can't be, you know, totally engaged in the world and be, you know, God's person. You have to be God's person. And today we're going to learn about how to respond to sin. How do we respond to sin? It's probably one of the most important things to be able to deal with is, you know, if we live in a world, I don't know if you know this, I think pretty much everyone knows this, our world is corrupt, our world is filled with sin, and if you live in this world, you are going to be sinned against, right? You're going to be sinned. That people are going to hate you. You might even get hit. You might have people talk bad about you, right? People might break into your stuff and take it, okay? There's a lot of things that can happen in this world because it is a sinful world. And Jesus wants us to know how to respond to sin and not let sin destroy us. How we can make ourselves better, how we can make the world better, and how we can give a better testimony to the work of God. And it all has to do with how we respond to the world around us. And again, not the good stuff that happens to us, but the bad stuff, the bad things that come our way. So we're going to look at this beautiful text. It says, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other one also. If someone has taken your coat, don't stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have others do to you. Here he starts off by saying, you know, for those of you who can hear, meaning that, you know, not everybody can receive the truth and message of God that requires grace. This is gracious action, right? It's like, you know, I'm not going to respond to harshness by being harsh. I'm not going to respond to thievery by going back and taking stuff back. When someone hits me, I'm not going to start a brawl, right? If someone cusses me or curses me, I'm not going to cuss and curse back, right? Right? Now, remember, Jesus is telling people, you know, this is a new way, the new way of the kingdom. Now, what was the old way? The old way was under the law. Listen to the law. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The rest of the people, this is in Deuteronomy, he said, the rest of the people will hear about, and this is about a punishment, will hear about this punishment and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now the Old Testament, now you think about this, which way appeals to our nature more? The idea of, you know, okay, yeah, oh, you did that to me? Wait till you see what's coming back, you know? And you know, the way of the street is even worse, right? It's not like, oh, you hurt my toe? I'm going to take your leg, you know? You hit me once, I'm going to beat you with a bat, you know? You dented my car, I'm going to total your car, right? That's the normal fleshly tendency. And the reason why the law has that in there, it was to try to help restrain evil. People, to make you afraid of punishment. To make you afraid that, you know, if you do something wrong, you're going to get it back, right? It's the weird thing of karma, which everybody gets wrong, because karma means you don't do anything. It doesn't mean you get what you give. But the law was trying to subdue evil within a culture. And if you think about it, that's what our law does. The legal system around us does that. You know, you do something to someone and they get caught, they're going to make you pay it back, right? All right, okay. But what is Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us you can't do it that way. Well, think about what happens when you know, you curse and I curse you back. And you curse and I curse you back, right? What are we doing? We're creating a more deeper environment of sin, right? You steal from me, I'm going to break in your house, I'm going to steal back from you. Now we got two thieves instead of one, right? You know, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back, and then the next guy jumps in, and the next guy jumps in, and now instead of one sinner, we got a whole bunch of sinners. The problem with the law, the problem with the idea of payback, the problem with retaliation, which feels so right but is so wrong, is that what it does, it enhances and causes sin to grow. It only makes the world worse. It only makes things worse. It makes you worse. It makes your neighborhood worse. It makes your country and society worse. So the idea of getting back, Jesus is telling us, he says, no, it can't be like that. He says you have to, again, you know, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you, you turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, you give him your jacket as well, right? So the idea is the gospel calls us to change. The gospel calls us to a response to sin that changes the environment. The idea is that what we put in is grace. Grace covers it. Grace changes sin. So if a sinner does something to you and you don't retaliate and you pray for them, or you do something nice. Remember, Paul told us, you know, overcome evil with good. He said, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And he said, you know, if your enemy's, you know, hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And by doing so, you know, you help them to recognize that they're doing wrong. That's really what the hot coals is about. It's about, you know, helping them to see that what their behavior is doing. But you see the entrance of grace into it. Now sin is contained into the person that did it. And when grace is returned, that sinner might be transformed. So instead of escalating sin and making things worse, what Jesus calls us to is to have grace in our hearts, to have grace in us to the point that we can share that with others, and then as things happen, we calm it down. You know, Matthew says, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be the children of God. And that's kind of this whole idea of not going to war, not retaliating, not getting even. You know, and sometimes that's not easy. I would say it's probably never natural. It's never natural to just, oh, I'm going to let that go. It really requires work. It requires something to be done with us. It requires power that's greater than ourselves. By nature, people do not forgive. By nature, people do not pray for their enemies. By nature, they don't do good to those who are mean to them. By nature, they retaliate, they sin. So there has to be something bigger than us working in us for us to be able to do the things that Jesus asked us to do. He said again, for those who can hear, those whom Christ is helping, right? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even enemies lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. You know me, I read the Greek, and which the Bible was first written, the New Testament was written in Greek. That's why that's there. It's the original language of the Bible. The English is a translation. I think you all know that, right? But it really, that really could be, what kind of grace is in you instead of what credit is that to you? And I think that is so much more important to read it that way. What kind of grace is in you? In other words, he's saying there has to be something in you that gives you the ability to do what's better than normal people. You know, normal people will be nice to people that are nice to them. And normal people will, you know, lend money to people who can pay it back. And normal people will do those things, right? But what Christ is asking is for something supernatural. He's asking for something above normal. He's asking for something that is godlike. He's asking for grace to be in us, to be given out. And so he really is saying, you know, you need a source of grace. You need a source of power. And of course, we know that the source of power and the source of grace is Jesus Christ. It is the work of God in us to put grace inside of us so that there is a power in us. There is a grace in us that is far beyond ourselves, far beyond our normal tendency, and teaches us to think and act and to look at the world and do the things that God would have us do. This is not a matter of writing something down. Okay, I'm going to love my enemies and then I'm going to do that by my own self-will. You cannot do it. This idea of what grace or what, you know, my translation's better, sorry. What kind of grace is in you? What kind of grace is in you? Okay, so look, what happens? We get sinned against. Somebody does something to us, right? Our first inclination is probably not the gracious one. Unless we've learned, all right? Our first inclination is not the gracious one. It's the natural one. It's the one we were born with. And then you have to, in the name of Jesus, stop and pray and think and call upon the grace of God in your heart. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes you got to pray through things. Listen, folks. You don't want anger in your heart because somebody did something to you 3 years ago. You don't want to walk around not trusting neighbors because somebody broke into your house 10 years ago. You need to be prayerful. You need to be calling on the name of the Lord and say, God, you know, help me to forgive that. Help me to let that go. Help me to forgive that person. Help me to forgive that action. Help me to forgive that slander. Help me to forgive that fist that was balled up at me. Help me, Almighty God. And I'm telling you, the grace of God is powerful. The gospel is powerful. And it will allow you to be free from the sin that was acted upon you. It will give you the strength and the wisdom and the courage to be able to say, indeed, I actually love those who haven't loved me. I actually, all those things that seem so hard, they are hard if you try to do it by yourself. But when you try to do it in the power and the grace that comes from calling on Jesus, When you have that gift of God that comes from heaven, that power of God that comes into our hearts and changes the way we are, that makes this possible. And so there is a grace that is at work in us that is different than the grace that works in the world. There's a power. that comes from Jesus Christ that is better than what the world has. So we are able to do those things that show a better outcome of what Christ is doing. It changes us, you know. The first part of it is, you know, when we don't respond with evil, kind of changes your environment. When you call upon God and the grace of God is in you, it changes you, right? But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. See, how does the gospel work? We call upon the name of Jesus. We believe in Jesus. Jesus comes and transforms our minds, transforms our hearts, transforms us to the likeness of God. We move, it says in Corinthians, from glory to glory. We're growing. We're taking in more and more of the grace of God, and we're becoming more and more like Him, and we're more and more able to use that grace to forgive, to bless, to care. It's a sad thing, you know, when people don't have the grace of God in their lives. I've known folks that, you know, something happened to them maybe 20 years ago and they're seething with anger, seething with revenge, seething with I want to get even. You know, one of the saddest ones, well, there was a person that was just telling me about something that happened, and then when I talked to him about, well, you ever talked to the person? Oh, that person died. And I'm thinking, you know, the idea that anger and that seething and that hatred, that it had no impact on the sinner whatsoever, but it was destroying this person's soul because they couldn't find the grace of God to let go of it. They couldn't find the grace of God to say, yeah, that was evil, and in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. In the name of Jesus, the way God has forgiven me, I forgive them. I want to be filled with grace. I want to be filled with mercy, Almighty God. Don't let me harbor, you know, hatred or anger or revenge against those who sin against us, Lord. But help us, Almighty God, to do better, to be better, to be like our Father. Our Father, you know, He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to shine on people who don't call on Him. He provides food for those who don't thank Him. He provides clothing for people that could care less that He exists or want to deny that He exists. He's good to His enemies. When you and I were His enemies, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And when we called on the name of Jesus, when we were His enemies, and we called upon the name of Jesus and asked for God to forgive us, He forgave us. He loved us. He lavished on us the salvation and the power of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be like Him. When the grace of God is at work in our lives, when the power of Christ is at work in our lives, and yes, we are going to be sinned against, and we respond to sin with grace, we testify that there is a living God. We testify that there is a God who is above all things, gracious and loving and kind. We show the world, rather than talk about it, we show the world how good is God. How merciful is God? How kind is God? How loving is God? How generous is God? How compassionate is God? Without these things, you know, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. We don't belong to Him. With these things, we are His children. We are the children of the Most High. When the grace of God is at work in us and we're gracious and we're forgiving and we're kind, it says, we belong. You know, that whole Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. The goats didn't have mercy. They didn't have compassion. They didn't have the kindness of God, right? Those who did have the compassion, those who did have mercy, come on, enter in. You belong to me. You belong here. The other ones, you don't belong. The quality of grace in our lives as we share that with others, and again, when we are sinned against, That's where it's got to shine the brightest. To forgive those who hurt you. To forgive those who say bad things. To forgive those who want to do you in. You know, you have to forgive and let grace absorb you and absorb that. And in the name of Jesus, let grace rule your heart and your life and your world. And it says you are God's children. You belong to Him. You're His. So look, here's the thing. Think about it. If we let the grace of God, or we ask the grace of God, and I shouldn't say let, because I do believe we have to work on this. We have to, if you've got like anger against something that happened in the past or something going on, you really just need to pray, God, give me the grace. Give me the grace to let that go. Give me the grace to forgive. Give me the grace to pray for those folks, right? And I don't mean pray, God, get them. I mean pray, God, forgive them. God, love them. God, help them, right? It diminishes sin in the world. It diminishes sin in your own life. Your life becomes a life that's filled with grace. It bears witness that we know a living and loving and gracious God. And it shows that we belong to Him and to the kingdom. Let grace reign in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Let grace reign in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, and we do ask that your grace would reign in our hearts, that you would bless us and keep us, O Lord, and watch over us. And help us, Lord, to recognize those places where we haven't been gracious and to bring them before you in prayer and to ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us, God, by the grace of Christ, to be filled with grace and to wash that sin out of our hearts and bring forgiveness and grace to bear on when we've been sinned against. Father, you are so good. You show us such a good way to go. We pray for you, Lord, to be with us. Please have mercy on us. Please help us, Lord, because apart from you, we are so weak, so lost, so ordinary. We need your help, Father. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just going to do, whoops. It's not on here, no. I want to do Amazing Grace. I'm just going to find it. I know. Hour I first believed. Indeed, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, who made it possible for us to be filled with something better, something new, something fresh and wonderful, Almighty God, the power of your Spirit, full of grace. Help us, O Lord, then to be gracious as we go from this place to carry you and carry that grace in our hearts wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.